Attention, attention, lockdown is now mandatory. Repeat, lockdown is mandatory. Do not leave your homes. You must shelter in place. It's the law. Obey the law. Obey. You must obey.
Have you had enough of this lockdown shit? Me too. Hop in. Take a ride with me. Clear across the country.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Last week, we talked about the devastation that government intervention has wreaked on independent businessmen, on opportunity and optimism, how we really are heading into the that dark winter, predicted by a certain politician with the mental capacity of a marmoset. Then, we pivoted to a roadside attraction on Route 66 in Missouri. Pivoted. Have you noticed how often the media wonks are using that word? They latch on to words they think sound cool and then use them until they're worn out. Pivot is one of the latest. Preceding that was what? Maybe optics, right? Everything had happened. Some politician dribbled soup on his tie. That was optics. Iconic is still circulating. That one's been hanging on a long time. Toenail clippers, sponges, a toilet plunger, anything can be iconic. But I digress once again. When I took you through the road trip last summer, I sort of kept it linear. This time I'm going to hop around, zig and zag. Every state has its own flavor and what I term the fear index. In the Southwest, New Mexico is paralyzed with fear. It definitely scores a 10 on 10 in the fear index. When I travel, we tend to keep it kind of loose with flexible mileage goals and destinations. Unless on a tight schedule, it's fun to meander a little, right? You pass something that interests you and stop and have a look. Might be 10 minutes, might be an hour. So often we don't reserve a room until late in the day, which is never a problem, especially in states with high fear indexes because nobody's traveling anyway except the truckers. It's kind of an eerie feeling to take an exit off a dark interstate and pull into a town where the two or three traffic lights switch to flashing red instead of red and green. You pass restaurants and motels, some with signs glowing and some dark. But few have even one customer's car in the parking lot. It can really feel apocalyptic. One evening we pulled into a small town in New Mexico. My wife had found this place with good reviews and called and reserved a room. Its gimmick was that it was very retro. Some frozen in time temple of Route 66 camp and kitsch. Which sounds pretty cool, but also means a TV the size of a toaster, towels fit for a chihuahua, and a room so small you have to step outside to change your mind. It seems everything was smaller back then, except for the cars. So we pulled up in the glow of the neon, but the office was deserted. She'd spoken with a dude less than 30 minutes before. Maybe went out for a burger. Then I spotted a note on the door. It said, contactless check-in with a phone number to call. I thought, what the fuck? This is going too far. We'd been to a whole bunch of hotels and motels, but every one of them had live desk clerks and masks and face shields and plexiglass barriers. But you were inside an office. The desert gets cold at night, always. Especially when you're in the high desert, as we were. The wind whistles around the corners and tumbleweeds roll by. You feel as if either The man with no name is going to gallop up on a Palomino, or Large Marge will cruise up and bleed the air brakes on her Peterbilt. Or maybe some nuclear mutant Gila monster grown to the size of a buffalo will slither out of the shadows and snap your head off like a mushroom. The phone rang a bunch of times, and finally, there was an answer. And as soon as I heard this dude's voice, I knew he was a chooch. Some people just have dick voices. I recall one time I took a VP job with an entertainment company. The money was great. Work wasn't real hard, but I knew it would be temporary, just from the owner's voice. Wasn't anything he said in particular. It was just the way it sounded coming out of his mouth. Annoying. I knew he'd be an asshole, and I was right. And it did not end well, but that's for another show. So I'm standing in the weird light of the Bates Motel, or whatever the hell it was called, and I'm hungry and I have to take a leak. And this guy is reading off a brochure or website or something about how this lodging provides an authentic Route 66 experience that harkens back to a time when America was innocent. And I'm thinking, fuck the sales pitch already. Just take my damn money and give me a room key. So I finally tell him, hey, I've had a long day. Just take my credit card number, give me the key. And he takes my number, which is hard to read in the blinking light of his authentic retro sign with the big yellow chase bulbs. And then something catches my eye in that dark office. Him. This fucking nut is right inside that office, hiding behind the desk as he talks to me on his cell phone, like he's a Tom Cruise in War of the Worlds, and the tripods are marching down the road to get him. So he takes my credit card number, and then starts his marketing survey.
And how did you hear about our lodgings?
And now, I'm getting pissed. And I answer his question with a question. What room is it, and where's the key? But this imbecile is determined to finish his check-in procedure and asks,
and where are you coming in from?
And I answer, the West. The big Wild West. Now where's the key? And he tells me a room number and that the door is open and the key is inside, next to the authentic period Zenith television. So I hot-foot it over there to have a look. It was a nothing room. I do my standard inspection. Check to see that the toilet flushes, that the sink drains, that the shower throws hot water, and that the beds are freshly made and firmer than a hammock. It's amazing how even high-end places fail on one or more of those inspection points. And if and when they do, what happens? Well, if you're in some tank town, nothing happens. You get a cold shower in the morning and a backache from a soggy bed. If you're in a real hotel, they call engineering. I love that. In hotel land, a plumber is an engineer. So it's better to check first than get surprised later. The room passed muster, even if it was small and drab. When I go back to the car to get some luggage, Mr. Contactless Check-In is now standing outside, talking to my wife, who is holding Moose in her arms. Suddenly, he's not so terrified of the fucking Chinese virus. He's laying down some bullshit about the room not being a pet-equipped room, even though his crappy little motel had pet-friendly plastered all over his tacky website. I tell him, hey, no problem, give me another room. And that's when the bullshit really starts to flow. That all the other pet rooms are booked. There isn't another car in the parking lot. Now, I just want to go back into his room and kick a few holes in the wall so he'll have something to remember me by. But he's got my credit card number. So I slam the car door in his face and peel out. My wife gets back on the phone, and in 15 minutes, we're checking into a Marriott with a desk clerk that does not insist on conducting business behind a locked door. And they had no problem with Moose. The hotel was brand new and beautiful. They gave us a suite with full-size plush towels, heat lamps in the gleaming bathroom, a microwave, a refrigerator, a couch, two desks, and an alcove with two flat screens. You got the picture. and it was only a few bucks more than the other dump. But it did not provide an authentic Route 66 experience that harkened back to a time when America was in its innocence. There are some red flag words that should always be heeded in promotional materials for lodgings. I think they salt their marketing with these words knowing that most vacation travel is arranged by women. Topping the list is quaint. Quaint means pipes that rattle for 10 minutes after the guy next door flushes the toilet. Next is charming. Charming means walls so thin, you'll hear people farting three rooms away. Rustic, well, that's hotel speak for bring a can of Raid and mosquito netting. Sun-drenched means you'll be up with the roosters because there's no fucking blackout curtains. Of course, then there's the ultimate chick bait in lodgings, the bed and breakfast. They usually check all those boxes, quaint, charming, sun-drenched, rustic, and one more, forced socializing. The breakfast is in somebody's living room, and odds are you get stuck at a table with tourists from a country where bathing is taboo and chewing with your mouth open is the height of courtesy. Gimme steel and glass and down quilts and 9,000 thread count sheets and walls like Hitler's bunker and a minibar, an ice machine in the room and nightstands covered with USB charging ports and 5G Wi-Fi and water pressure that could cause a concussion. And I'll get my own breakfast, thank you. New Mexico is really fucked. Everyone is on edge, and the state government likes it that way. Constant road signs screaming, mask up and stay home, and it's the law. Santa Fe is one of the prettiest and most fucked towns in the country. We stayed overnight. Everybody was uptight. Went to a restaurant I'd visited a few years ago. It was great. Now it was patio dining only outside. But even at that, it was full up because the state said that even outside on the patio, restaurants could not serve any more than 25% of capacity on the inside. So the owner suggested another place. We went there and hostess chick took our temperature at the front door, asked my wife to sign in so they could contact Trace, she did, as Martha Stewart. Then we were shown into the patio dining. It was a fucking parking lot with a canopy over it. Our table was in a handicap space. No heat lamps. The nearest table was about 30 feet away. Well, since we were walking, I went heavy on the margaritas and got a little loud, which drew some disapproving looks from other diners. Like I'm worried about the ambiance when I'm sitting in a goose-down coat on a sub-freezing night 7,000 feet up in the high desert of New Mexico. In a town that was once great, but is now run by a bunch of angry women, that's women with a Y, who all wear designer alpaca ponchos and Billy Jack hats and float through the streets looking wide, round, and menacing like those weird creatures from the movie Dune. On the way out of the restaurant, I spotted a big poster proclaiming, Sheriff's Rules. So I stopped to snap a picture of his commands as I mocked them. One of them, of course, was that everyone must wear a mask when not seated at a table. And I was unmasked at that time, and my wife later told me some lesser authority figure than the sheriff was demanding I mask up. But I neither heard him nor saw him. I was too busy laughing and flipping the bird at the rules. At the bottom of the document was written not, please follow the rules, or thank you for following the rules, but follow the rules or saddle up and go home. Hey, tough talking sheriff with his snotball attitude, huh? But guaranteed paychecks do tend to foster snotball attitudes, don't they? I'll post a picture of that poster and much more at the show page at thatlarryshow.com. Santa Fe really is picturesque. The next morning, we walked around town where What few souls were about were masked and terrified and would cross the street as they approached. Almost every store is for tourists, and of course, those stores are dying. Many are already dead. Custom knife shops and art galleries and boutiques hawking Lucchese boots and shearling coats and $7,000 turquoise and silver handmade Navajo bracelets, stuff like that. For a while, we sat on a bench in the town square and marveled at nothing. There was virtually no one there. Looked as if it had been evacuated. I wonder how many of those shop owners were down with the sheriff's rules. It looked as if everyone had followed the sheriff's rules. They all saddled up and went home and took their tourist dollars with them. As we walked past those empty shops, I had a minor epiphany, and that is, I don't want to live anywhere that people dress in costumes, because that's where the phony, pretentious assholes will congregate. Now, what do I mean? I mean guys who dress like rodeo stars and have never been farther west than Amsterdam Avenue, or the denim shirt and Greek fisherman capped idiot who's never baited a hook. Or the gink wearing a KW trucker's cap with a chain on his Louis Vuitton wallet so he doesn't leave it behind on the seat of his Porsche. Santa Fe is a town where so many rich assholes fantasize that they are something other than overpaid bureaucrats or partners in law firms or interior designers or cosmetic surgeons, but they schlep around, decked out like Zuni shamans in bone hairpipe chokers, or like cattle barons and Stetsons and sheepskin and bolo ties, or the ballistic camo and paracord bracelet crowd who couldn't survive a night without a quart of Ben and Jerry and tentacle hentai. L.A. is crawling with costume fakes. Everyone here thinks they are whatever they dress as on any given day. Like that great old Crusaders song said, you dress, you walk, you talk, you're who you think you are. That's L.A., and that's a lot of places these days. I did find places in America where people are authentic and not terrified by fear-mongering media and government, and I will tell you about those places and people in the next episode. How I encountered an amazing gutsy old gent in West Texas who put himself in some danger for some total strangers, namely my wife, kid, and moose. He was dressed as a cowboy, but it was no costume. That's what he was. I'll tell you about the legend of Casey Jones, which is no legend, but a mind-blowing true story, and how some folks keep Casey's memory alive in Tennessee. And how Nashville just might be the coolest town left in the USA. So come back and hang with me again next Wednesday. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com, where you will find some eye-popping images of the places I'm talking about, as well as more comment and commentary about them. While you're there, click a subscribe button. Apple, Stitcher, wherever you download. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you like what you heard, maybe take a second and throw the show a 5-star review. And if you really like what you heard, click that Patreon button and help me keep the tank full. When you become a patron, you are automatically a member of the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates each week. There you will find the fellowship of other classic Americans, such as yourself. No commies, no creeps, and no phony kooks in costumes. You'll also get access to dozens of bonus episodes and our deep bench of senseis who have a remarkable track record of helping people with the problems in school, romance, work, family. So send your troubles to thatlarryshow@gmail.com and we will help you kick its ass. Between episodes, why not follow the show and have a few laughs? There's a private Facebook group. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Gab, just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. you'll find us. I'll see you next week for part 3 of The Road Trip. And until that time, take no shit.